Have you ever wondered what happens when a person's darkest traumas collide with their deepest desires? I Will Mend You by Gigi Sticks has become a cultural phenomenon in the dark romance genre, with readers describing it as devastatingly addictive and impossible to put down. This psychological thriller has garnered a devoted following on BookTok, with fans praising its unflinching exploration of trauma, identity, and healing. Despite its controversial content and extensive trigger warnings, the book has resonated with readers seeking stories that don't shy away from the darkest corners of human experience. As one reviewer put it, this book will break you before it puts you back together. At the heart of this dark romance thriller lies the story of Amethyst, a woman whose life unravels when she discovers she has an identical twin sister named Dolly who is determined to destroy her. The novel opens with a shocking scene, Amethyst finding her mother and uncle brutally murdered in their home by someone who looks exactly like her, her previously unknown twin sister. This doppelganger, dressed meticulously in Amethyst's signature fan club video outfit down to the smallest detail, claims Amethyst stole her life and is now intent on revenge. The scene establishes the novel's central conflict while immediately immersing readers in the psychological horror of confronting an evil version of oneself. The twin dynamic creates a fascinating psychological exploration of identity and perception, delving deep into questions of nature versus nurture. Amethyst and Dolly represent two sides of the same coin, one raised in relative privilege in a middle-class suburban home, the other subjected to unimaginable horrors in society's darkest corners. Their separation at age 10 created dramatically divergent paths. Amethyst was institutionalized in a private mental health facility with her memories systematically erased through experimental treatments, while Dolly was trafficked into a world of exploitation and violence, eventually becoming a key player in the sinister Excite Media organization that produces snuff films and underground content. This traumatic separation forms the foundation of their complex relationship, layered with betrayal, guilt, and misunderstanding. Dolly's hatred stems from her belief that Amethyst deliberately betrayed her, leaving her to suffer while living a comparatively normal life, complete with education, safety, and opportunities. Her rage manifests in increasingly violent ways, from stalking Amethyst to systematically destroying everything she holds dear. Meanwhile, Amethyst struggles with fragmented memories and vivid hallucinations, unable to fully understand her past or why her twin wants her dead. She experiences flashbacks of a shared childhood trauma involving their father, but can't piece together the full picture. The twin motif serves as a powerful metaphor for the fragmentation of self that occurs after severe trauma, a theme the author explores through both psychological and physical manifestations. Amethyst and Dolly represent the split between the person who existed before trauma and the one who emerged after, with their contrasting paths highlighting how identical starting points can lead to radically different outcomes. Their eventual confrontation in the novel's climactic scenes forces readers to question whether reconciliation is possible when trauma has created such profound division, or if some wounds are simply too deep to heal. This dynamic is further complicated by revelations about their parents' role in their separation and the true nature of the experiments conducted on Amethyst, raising questions about complicity, forgiveness, and the possibility of redemption. Memory plays a crucial role throughout the narrative, serving as both a weapon and a shield. Amethyst's institutionalization included treatments that erased portions of her memory, leaving her with significant gaps in her understanding of her own past. These missing pieces make her vulnerable to manipulation by others who claim to know her history better than she does herself. The diary entries from Amethyst's mother, Maloney, provide critical context about the twins' childhood. We learn that both girls displayed disturbing behavior from a young age, with Dolly showing psychopathic tendencies and Amethyst retaliating with cruel pranks. After being expelled from school for a knife incident, they were sent to Three Fates Therapeutic Boarding School, which was actually a front for training child assassins. memory manipulation becomes a form of power throughout the story. Delta, the mastermind behind the Three Fates program and Zero's father, uses drugs and psychological conditioning to control his victims. He exploits Amethyst's memory gaps to make her question her reality, a classic gaslighting technique that leaves her disoriented and dependent on others for validation of her experiences. The novel also explores how trauma affects memory formation. Amethyst experiences flashbacks and dissociative episodes when triggered, fragmenting her experience of reality. During her captivity at the asylum, she creates a hallucination of Zero as a coping mechanism, blurring the line between memory and imagination. This psychological defense mechanism allows her to endure unbearable situations, but further complicates her ability to trust her own perceptions. As Amethyst gradually recovers her memories through triggers, therapy, and reading her mother's diary, she must confront painful truths about her family history. The process of memory recovery becomes integral to her healing journey, forcing her to integrate the fractured pieces of her identity into a coherent whole. This struggle reflects the real challenges faced by trauma survivors who must reconcile their pre-trauma identity with their post-trauma reality. The novel unflinchingly examines how abuse perpetuates itself across generations, creating cycles of violence that are difficult to break. Delta's organization, the Moira Group, initially recruited disgraced agents before switching to teen runaways who were more loyal and dependent. This predatory system targeted vulnerable children, transforming them into weapons through systematic abuse and conditioning. Three Fates Boarding School represents the institutionalization of abuse, disguised as a therapeutic environment. Children sent there for behavioral problems were actually being groomed as assassins. The twins' first mission involved drugging targets at a mansion, highlighting how quickly they were thrust into violence. When Amethyst fails her mission, Delta coldly informs them they won't leave until every mission is flawless, trapping them in an endless cycle of compliance and violence. The novel also explores how trauma victims can become perpetrators themselves. Dolly, once a victim of trafficking and abuse, transforms into a perpetrator who inflicts similar horrors on others, including her own sister. Her evolution from victim to abuser illustrates how unprocessed trauma can warp a person's moral compass, creating a distorted sense of justice where inflicting pain on others feels like reclaiming power. Excite Media represents the commercialization of abuse, turning violence into entertainment for wealthy clients. Members pay $250,000 to watch snuff films being produced, revealing how exploitation becomes a commodity in a system where human life is devalued. The organization's structure, with different tiers of membership and speaking parts earned through submitting violent audition videos, creates a hierarchy of complicity that normalizes extreme violence. Perhaps most disturbing is how the cycle of abuse is maintained through institutional corruption. Law enforcement officials like Deputy Chief Carl Hunter protect Excite Media's interests from within the police department, demonstrating how systems designed to protect the vulnerable can be co-opted to perpetuate abuse. This institutional complicity makes escape seem impossible for victims trapped within these systems. Throughout her captivity at the asylum, Amethyst demonstrates remarkable psychological resilience. When stripped of her freedom, dignity, and identity, she develops sophisticated survival strategies that keep her core self intact despite extreme dehumanization. One of her primary coping mechanisms is dissociation, mentally separating from her physical experience during traumatic events. When Delta sexually assaults her, she slips into unconsciousness, determined to protect Zero's people, showing how dissociation can be both protective and an act of resistance. By withdrawing her consciousness, she denies her captors complete control over her experience. Amethyst also creates a hallucination of Zero that serves as both companion and protector during her captivity. This psychological construct helps her maintain hope and connection when physically isolated. When faced with sexual humiliation, she escapes into memories of Zero to endure, demonstrating how the mind can create safe havens even in the most hostile environments. The novel also explores how captivity affects one's sense of agency and autonomy. When Grunt offers Amethyst a cereal bar after she refuses dog food, this small kindness creates a dangerous sense of obligation that she must consciously resist. This illustrates the complex psychological dynamics between captives and captors, where even minimal decency can create emotional bonds that complicate escape attempts. Physical resistance becomes another form of psychological survival. Despite being drugged and restrained, Amethyst repeatedly attempts escape, showing remarkable resourcefulness in using available tools, like fashioning socks from her straitjacket sleeves or taking scalpels from an autopsy room. These acts of resistance, however small, help her maintain a sense of agency in an environment designed to strip it away. Perhaps most significantly, Amethyst maintains her moral compass despite extreme circumstances. When Grunt is punished for her refusal to eat, she feels horrified and guilt-ridden, showing her capacity for empathy remains intact despite her own suffering. This preserved humanity becomes crucial to her eventual healing process, distinguishing her path from Dolly's descent into cruelty. The novel presents a controversial perspective on trauma recovery by suggesting that vengeance can be therapeutic for some survivors. After escape in captivity, Amethyst doesn't seek conventional healing through therapy alone, but actively pursues those who harmed her, finding catharsis in confronting her abusers. This vengeance as healing approach is first demonstrated when Amethyst confronts Clyde Proctor, one of the men who filmed her torture. She methodically stabs him 13 times, one for each film he made, and afterward feels a small piece of my trauma lift. This suggests that for some survivors, active confrontation of perpetrators can provide closure that passive healing processes cannot. Training becomes another avenue for reclaiming power. After seeing Dolly's fake confession video, Amethyst demands combat training, insisting that Dolly must die by her hand. This physical preparation serves both practical and psychological purposes, building skills for the inevitable confrontation while helping Amethyst reclaim ownership of her body after violation. The novel also explores how vengeance can restore a sense of justice when formal systems fail. When Amethyst learns that law enforcement officials protected Excite Media, she realizes conventional justice isn't available to her. Her vigilante approach becomes a response to this systemic failure, suggesting that survivors sometimes must create their own justice when institutions protect perpetrators. However, the narrative also acknowledges the potential costs of vengeance. When Amethyst kills Charlotte Banks, her childhood tormentor, she experiences grief for the sister I lost and the monster she became, showing how revenge can bring complex emotions rather than simple satisfaction. This nuanced portrayal suggests that while vengeance may provide temporary relief, it doesn't erase the original trauma. The relationship between Amethyst and Zero complicates this vengeance narrative further. While they support each other's quests for retribution, they also provide emotional healing through connection and intimacy. This balance suggests that vengeance alone is insufficient. Healing also requires rebuilding capacity for trust and vulnerability with safe people. One of the most challenging aspects of the novel is its exploration of sexuality and desire in the aftermath of severe sexual trauma. Amethyst's journey to reclaim her sexuality after assault represents a complex healing process that doesn't follow a linear path. Initially, Amethyst's trauma creates significant barriers to intimacy. When Zero first touches her in the bath, she experiences a panic attack as Delta's memories resurface. These flashbacks demonstrate how trauma lives in the body, creating involuntary responses that override conscious desires. Her body remembers the violation, even when she wants to move forward. The novel portrays sexual healing as a gradual process requiring patience and safety. Zero's approach, asking for consent at each step, offering options for privacy, and immediately stopping when triggered, creates the conditions for Amethyst to slowly reclaim agency over her body. When she asks to watch him touch himself rather than being touched, it represents her need to control the pace of sexual reintegration. Power dynamics play a crucial role in Amethyst's sexual recovery. With Delta and his associates, sex was a weapon used against her. With Zero, she experiments with taking control, eventually feeling empowered enough to ask, "Who do you belong to?" during intimacy. This role reversal allows her to experience sexual power as something she wields rather than something wielded against her. The narrative also explores how trauma can create seemingly contradictory desires. Amethyst craves both gentleness and intensity, safety and risk. During their encounter by the fire pit, she chooses McMurphy as her safe word, naming the prison officer who lost an eye, showing how she integrates her traumatic past into her consensual present rather than compartmentalizing it. Perhaps most controversially, the novel suggests that reclaiming sexuality after trauma sometimes involves integrating rather than avoiding elements of the traumatic experience. When Amethyst and Zero have sex above Delta's restrained body, it represents a complex psychological reclamation, transforming a site of violation into one of consensual pleasure and shifting power from abuser to survivor. Amid the darkness of abuse and vengeance, the novel ultimately argues that authentic human connection provides the most powerful healing force. While revenge may offer temporary satisfaction, relationships built on mutual understanding and acceptance create lasting transformation. Amethyst's friendship with Myra represents one such healing connection. When Myra visits after Amethyst's rescue, her genuine embrace breaks through defenses that others couldn't penetrate. "Everyone has given me space since my trauma, but this genuine human connection breaks through my defenses." This moment highlights how appropriate physical touch from a trusted friend can reach trauma survivors when words fail. The relationship between Amethyst and Zero forms the central healing bond in the narrative. Despite their violent backgrounds, they create a connection based on mutual understanding of trauma. When Zero shows Amethyst his scars, helping her understand we're both survivors, he creates a foundation of equality rather than rescue. This shared vulnerability allows Amethyst to reveal her own scarred body without fear of rejection. Family connections also play a healing role. When Amethyst meets her aunts, Aria and Elenia Salentino, she discovers family members who actually want her alive, a stark contrast to her mother's betrayal. Their acceptance offers her a sense of belonging and heritage that helps repair her fractured identity. Professional support appears in figures like Isabel and Dr. Dixon, who provide medical care and psychological expertise without judgment. Their presence demonstrates that healing often requires both personal connections and professional intervention, particularly for complex trauma. Even brief connections with the rescued children from Three Fates contribute to Amethyst's healing journey. Seeing her own trauma reflected in the girl's eyes creates a sense of purpose beyond personal vengeance, a desire to prevent others from suffering as she did. This outward focus represents an important shift from survival to meaning-making. By the epilogue, these connections have transformed Amethyst from a traumatized victim to a woman capable of both giving and receiving love. At her book launch, surrounded by adoring fans with Zero and Myra by her side, she has created a life defined by connection rather than isolation. The final image, Amethyst and Zero preparing to join the Mile High Club with our future stretching before us full of possibility, suggests that genuine connection has restored her capacity for joy and anticipation. Throughout the narrative, characters grapple with fundamental questions about justice, retribution, and moral responsibility. The conventional justice system fails repeatedly. Law enforcement is corrupted, courts are manipulated, and legal processes protect perpetrators rather than victims. This systemic failure forces characters to develop their own moral frameworks for addressing harm. Zero embodies a utilitarian approach to justice, believing that eliminating those who harm the innocent serves the greater good. When he executes his father, declaring, "This is for my mother's," he positions himself as both judge and executioner. His vigilante justice raises uncomfortable questions about who deserves punishment and who has the right to deliver it. Amethyst's perspective evolves throughout the story. Initially seeking understanding, I try to explain to Dolly how we were both pawns in Delta's revenge. She shifts toward retribution after repeatedly encountering unrepentant perpetrators. Her decision to personally confront and punish her abusers represents a rejection of forgiveness as the only path to healing. The novel presents a nuanced view of complicity through characters like Charlotte Banks and Reverend Thomas. Charlotte claims she was just following Delta's commands, while Thomas portrays himself as a reluctant participant. These justifications highlight how systems of abuse rely on individuals abdicating personal responsibility, creating collective harm through individual moral compromises. The treatment of child perpetrators raises particularly complex ethical questions. Seth, a former child assassin who became an adult perpetrator, represents the blurred line between victim and victimizer. His history of being trafficked complicates moral judgment of his later actions, forcing readers to consider how early trauma shapes moral development. Perhaps most significantly, the novel questions whether conventional justice, with its emphasis on rehabilitation and proportional punishment, is adequate for addressing extreme harm. When Amethyst and Zero torture Delta before his execution, they reject the principle of humane treatment regardless of the crime. This approach suggests that some violations may be so profound that they place perpetrators beyond the protection of conventional moral considerations. By the novel's conclusion, justice remains imperfect and incomplete. While individual perpetrators face consequences, the broader systems that enabled their crimes persist. This unresolved tension reflects real-world challenges in addressing systemic abuse and suggests that justice is an ongoing process rather than a definitive outcome. The novel's ultimate message centers on the possibility of rebuilding identity after even the most devastating trauma. Amethyst's journey from fragmented victim to integrated survivor demonstrates how humans can reconstruct themselves after experiences designed to destroy their sense of self. Name symbolism plays a significant role in this identity reclamation. Born as Amaryllis Salentino, institutionalized as Amy Bishop, and reinvented as Amethyst, her name changes reflect different phases of her fragmented identity. When Zero calls her by her birth name during an intimate moment, Amaryllis Salentino, it represents her integration of past and present selves. Body reclamation forms another aspect of identity reconstruction. After Delta carves patterns into her skin to match Dolly's scars, Amethyst's body becomes a battlefield where others have literally inscribed their will. Her gradual comfort with physical intimacy represents reclaiming ownership of her body despite these permanent marks. Professional identity provides another avenue for self-reconstruction. When Myra shares that publishers want Amethyst's manuscripts, writing becomes a way to transform trauma into creative expression. By publishing under her chosen name, she reclaims her voice and shapes how others perceive her story. Family heritage offers yet another dimension of identity reclamation. Learning she's heir to the Salentino family fortune gives Amethyst access to a lineage and resources previously denied her. This connection to her paternal family provides historical context for understanding herself beyond her traumatic experiences. Perhaps most powerfully, Amethyst reclaims her capacity for choice and agency. From small decisions like what to eat to life-altering choices about confronting her abusers, each autonomous action rebuilds her sense of self-determination. By the epilogue, she makes choices based on desire rather than survival, marking a profound shift in her relationship to herself. The novel's final image, Amethyst and Zero preparing for their European vacation with all our ghosts finally laid to rest, suggests that while trauma leaves permanent marks, it need not determine one's entire identity. By integrating her traumatic experiences rather than being defined by them, Amethyst creates space for a future shaped by choice rather than reaction. I Will Mend You takes readers through the darkest corners of human experience, torture, trafficking, betrayal, and exploitation, yet ultimately delivers a message about resilience and the human capacity for healing. Through Amethyst's journey from victim to survivor, the novel suggests that even after the most devastating trauma, reconstruction is possible. The title itself contains this central promise, that what has been broken can be mended. This mending doesn't erase the damage or restore perfect wholeness, but creates something new from the fragments. Like the Japanese art of kintsugi, where broken pottery is repaired with gold to highlight rather than hide the breaks, Amethyst's healing process honors rather than erases her wounds. Throughout the narrative, small moments of beauty punctuate the darkness. When Zero prepares arancini based on a recipe from the Salentino sisters, this simple act of care triggers Amethyst's spontaneous memory of her childhood. Such moments suggest that healing often comes through ordinary human kindness rather than grand gestures. Connection emerges as the ultimate antidote to trauma's isolation. From Myra's genuine embrace to Zero's patient presence through nightmares, relationships provide the context for healing. Even Amethyst's brief interactions with the rescued children from Three Fates create meaningful bonds that counter the dehumanization she experienced. The novel's exploration of trauma is unflinchingly honest about both the damage inflicted and the possibility of recovery. It acknowledges that healing is neither linear nor complete. Amethyst continues to experience flashbacks and triggers even as she builds a new life. This realistic portrayal validates the ongoing nature of trauma recovery while still offering hope. By the epilogue, Amethyst has transformed from a woman defined by what was done to her to one defined by her own choices and connections. Her published book, romantic relationship, and newfound family represent different dimensions of her reconstructed life. Though permanently changed by her experiences, she is no longer controlled by them. In its final message, I Will Mend You suggests that light can be found even in the darkest places. Not by denying the darkness, but by moving through it with courage, connection, and the determination to reclaim one's story. As Amethyst reflects while watching her adoring fans from the mezzanine, life continues to unfold with possibility, even after the unimaginable.